In this show, comedian Jody Miller and the return of Sammy the Bull Gravano joins us for a very interesting interview. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey guys, Jay Cutler. Started a new podcast called Uncut with Jay Cutler. Most of you know me from the NFL. Some of you have seen me on Instagram. And some of you know me from the reality TV world. Each week I'm taking you along with me as we discuss football, trending topics, and whatever's going on in my life each week. I'm bringing along people that are special in my life. Former teammates, friends, and some new people that I like and respect. That's what you're supposed to do, right? Podcasting? I think I'm doing this right. Can't wait to get started with you. Go subscribe now. Uncut with Jay Cutler. Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify. Or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Sammy the Bull Gravano and Jody Miller. And now, a man whose voice is so nasally, he was part of La Cosa Nostril. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandy, get it on. Welcome to the show. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. Good day, Jody Miller.
Good day to you, sir.
Oh, Jody's a stand-up. She's an excellent writer, I know, because I've worked on projects with her
You have, yes. It's official.
Yeah. Funny you should ask. And you can check your local listings for that. And also, World's Funniest Weather. Check your local listings for that as well.
Just find me. Just check your local listings, and there I am.
How's... Let's see. How's mommyhood going for you?
Oh, mommyhood's so interesting. You know, the older she gets, it's kind of like the babysitting job that never ends.
You adopted, right?
I did adopt.
From where?
From Kentucky, which I know they should just be giving them away.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, did we talk about this when you were little? You used to walk up to the supermarket and they would have like just a box of kittens. Did you ever do that? You didn't have to go to a shelter or anything.
No,
they'd be like,
we would go. I remember very clearly the supermarket is where they would have them. And then they'd have them in a box.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
You come out with your food and you see a kitten. Your mom, can I get one? And she's like, okay.
We made it from like the dawn of civilization or whenever pets were first discovered or employed. Or deployed, like I'm guessing royalty had their throne and their dogs and stuff like that. But we made it for, 2000 years or whenever we started with pets up until 14 years ago without any official piece of equipment to transport pets.
Yes.
Pets were transported. If you had kittens, you just get a box, and you would put kittens in the box.
There wasn't even a top to the box normally.
No, it's just a box.
Just a box of kittens.
A box of kittens. Before it, there were books in there. Before that, there were oranges in that same box.
Same box. Now there are kittens.
There, you can go online and find a double-decker cat stroller.
I know.
Now, I go
get a backpack that looks like a little spaceship. You can put your cat in there.
Yeah, a little baby Bjorn or something.
That's what it is.
I go to the airport. I see 1,000 different collapsible, zippable with the mesh thing. There's 1,000 ways to transport a cat or a dog.
Or a dog.
And before, it was back of a truck.
Right.
And then into the box.
Into the box. That was it. You know, I remember a time, and I was thinking about it, that when you saw somebody with a dog, it's because they were taking him for a walk or they were going to the vet.
Right.
And now they're just like, it's so. And now even if I see a cat out, I'm like, okay, it's a little odd, but not as odd. People just take their pets. I see a baby pig everywhere in my neighborhood.
If you saw a dog anywhere but a vet or walking down the street, it's because the person was blind.
That was it.
That was it.
That's all.
No.
Occasional police dog.
Right. Yes. I actually live next door to police dog. Paisan was his name. No joke.
The dog.
Scary as fuck.
Well, can I give you my experience with police dogs?
Yes.
Because I have been taken down.
Have you? By a police dog?
Yes, I have.
By one dog?
Just the one.
Okay, tell me.
I mean, I was filming something, but the dog still took me down. I mean, that was what was done.
Were you so you're expecting this to happen?
Yeah, it's so scary, but
it is scary.
I have found that the handler of the police dog is usually scarier than the dog.
I don't doubt that.
In this particular case, the man in charge of the dog was scarier than the dog itself. And because he's a cop.
Yeah.
Except where no one will partner with him.
No, that's why he has a dog.
That's the scariest guy in the force.
He can't, nobody else can tolerate him except for a dog.
Or he cannot tolerate others.
Anyone else.
Either way, he's going solo with the dog. And the dog,
German Shepherd.
Yes,
right?
Yes. The dog took me down.
How quickly?
That was the rub. That was the problem. It was a huge problem. We're filming in an area, and I said, "I'm going to run," and let me get out 50 feet in front of the dog, and then you let the dog go. And he said, and I said, there's a patch of light. There's trees. It was kind of a parky, woody area, but there was this big sort of patch in the center of the field where it was sunlit. So I said, let the dog go so that he kind of takes me down in the patch of light because we're filming it. And he said, this dog's fast. And I said, yeah, I get it. But if you just let me go and I just keep going, the dog may be fast, but I'm still running and we're going to be out of the light. And he said, that dog will catch you fast. And I said, yeah, okay. But let the dog go sooner than later because A, I'd like to get it over with. And then B, I'd like me to go down closer to where the cameras are and where it's lit. And he said, okay. And then I started running, and then I kept running, and then I ran through the patch of light, and then I kept going, and I almost got to the end of this sort of park fenced area, and I went, Jesus Christ, you didn't let the dog go, or the director yelled cut or something, and I started to turn around, and then the dog hit me. So I would file this under me going, I don't want this thing to happen, and thus it happened.
So you weren't wearing any protective gear?
Oh, yeah. I was wearing protective gear. And he said, I said, what do you do once the dog attacks? How do you get the dog off? And he goes, it's kind of a switch. And there's not really, you don't have one of those whistles or there's nothing. You don't yell jerky treat or something. So the dog's kind of on, when it's on.
Until you're dead.
And I sort of said, so how do you get him off? And I go, to kick him in the ribs.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This whole story's traumatizing.
It was traumatizing. And then I said to him, I am wearing this sort of protective jacket, but my hands are free and open.
And your face is.
What if the dog grabs a hand, while I'm running? And he went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Keep your hands up. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know what else you're not telling me that I should think of, but yeah, he took me down. But dogs in a box.
Dogs in a box.
At a liquor store or a supermarket.
Yes.
Yes.
Or cats. Yes. So that's actually how I got my daughter. That's how I got my daughter.
She was in a box. A box outside of the Gelson's?
It was they don't have Gelson's in Kentucky. So it was just out of a Piggly Wiggly. She was adorable. Just tiny little box baby. Box baby. Things are good. She's 20 months. So she's amazing. This is a great age. She now laughs when she farts. I never knew that was that's just something they
it's
just
a good marker.
It is, right?
She has a sense of humor.
Yes, she just fart. She's normally would fart like an old person. You fart and you don't know that you fart, or you don't mention it. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
the other day she just farted. It was a really nice long one. I was super proud. And for the first time, she looked at me and just went,
"That's good."
It was good. Felt good.
That is it's like when they talk about, the young serial killer, he would torture animals. Yes. It's a bad marker.
This is a good marker, though.
Especially for a comedian.
Exactly. especially for a girl, because girls fart everywhere. It's hilarious.
it's something that they play closer to the vest.
They really do. You know what I mean? When I fart, like just right now, I don't even like let anyone know.
Mm. My theory, as you get older, you will lose a little bit of control of that ability.
You will start. We've said this a million times. Everyone. You start reverting back into a baby. That's why older people, when they fart, it's a lot like a baby. You just fart. You don't even know that you farted. That you don't even make any reference to it. Not excuse me. Nothing. My mom used to just walk around farting around.
I'm not there.
No,
I'm not there. But I'm at the point where, just like many of the things you thought you could do in your youth that you can no longer do now, you know, I used to be able, when I was 23, I could go out on a date and hold a fart for 11 hours. Same fart.
You wouldn't even like go to the bathroom to relieve it. You'd just be like, let me see how long I can hold it.
I remember I used to call it nerve gas because it would be like first date,
right,
going out to dinner,
right,
then going out to a movie, a little anxiety about, is this working? Right. Is she vibing on me? Should I go for the kiss on the porch?
You can't go for the kiss holding in a fart. Because then you wouldn't like lose control of that fart.
I have.
Deep into a kiss that the fart just kind of comes right out.
I have cut short make out grind sessions.
Oh, a dry
hump
session?
At the end of the date because I've been holding the fart from dinner.
But it just seems like you're a gentleman. That's a woman's like, oh my God, he just like stopped on his own.
At a certain point, I want to fart more than I want to come. It's true. Because the orgasm is that's a distant promise.
Yes.
The fart is right here, right now. I want this done now.
Right now.
It's sort of the piss versus the dump. The dump, you can hold it off. Sometimes it'll go away for a couple hours and it'll revisit you or whatever. But when you got to piss, there's nothing more important.
There's nothing.
At that point.
And the older you get, I mean, losing control, not just of your fart. Every day I play the game, am I done peeing? Every day.
Mm.
And a lot of times I'm not.
Yes.
Like, you go to the bathroom, I stand up, like, I'm not done peeing. Like, why is that? Why does your bladder just be, it's like, we're done here. I think because you actually are peeing in the womb. So your bladder's been going since, like, you're what, like 2 months old?
Mm.
So I think at a certain age, it's like, I'm done. We're done.
My theory of why older guys make that noise when they get off the sofa, when they go, up, alrighty, is to cover the fart. Because I now realize that just getting off of the sofa could be enough to ring in a fart.
That's so good. That's true. I should try that. Although I never have to fart when I get off the sofa.
Yeah, well, women don't have it as much as men that way. But
that's
will tell you that in the past, when I could go on the aforementioned 11-hour date and not fart, now it's a little more like, I got to fart. I'll hold it for a minute. And then I start walking up a flight of stairs and it just comes right out.
What about on stage? Have you ever let one rip on stage?
That's interesting. No.
You've never, ever.
No.
You're doing an hour. You got to go. Your stage is pretty far up there. No one's going to be able to tell. No, it's not going to make a sound. Just let one slide right out.
I am lucky or prepared. I don't know what it is, but I am super religious about hitting the bathroom
right
in the green room before I go on stage. I realize if I'm up there 41 minutes in and I go, God, I got to take a piss, I'm going to be miserable for the next 23 minutes.
Totally. And the older we get, sometimes, 41 minutes after you just peed, you still have to pee again.
So
I'm really careful about not drinking on stage.
I try to evacuate.
Get it all. I don't even bring water on stage. I mean, I do, but sometimes I'm like, if I'm doing an hour, I can't risk it. I mean, probably I won't because there's adrenaline going. You ever feel really sick before you get on stage, and then you get on stage, and that adrenaline kicks, and you feel great, and then you get off stage, and you're like, I'm going to die. That's interesting.
I feel nothing going out on stage, and I don't feel anything when I'm done.
Do you feel anything ever? No.
No, I don't. You know, when
are you
people
dead inside?
I would say I'd like to think so. I mean, people do a lot of like you get up there and you feel so alive because you feed off of the audience right. and the energy of the audience and whatever. Yeah. I've never had that.
You've never felt that?
Never.
So what keeps you going to get on stage?
I want
to
get paid. And it's beats roofing. Yes. And it's comes fairly easily. It's mm-hmm. not that tough a slog for me. And it just like
that's so interesting.
There's this thing you can do.
Yeah.
It comes pretty naturally, right. like pretty easily. You don't have to kill yourself preparing, and you know
right.
it doesn't turn into a bad homework assignment like right. you're in high school or something. And then they pay you. And they give you booze and food, and yeah. they're nice, and they come to see you, yeah. and so let's do it. But I don't have any thoughts really beyond
Not
that.
Not even like the first time you did it and got that first.
I used to be nervous
right.
before I did it, but I never got the
that rush
or whatever when it's
yeah.
off the crowd or you feel alive
right.
or whatever the isms are to performing,
right.
you know, like, you know, people get in, it's like, there's no pure form of whatever than stand up or there's no better,
right.
you know, I just felt, I've always just thought of it as a job, like just say something that's funny or interesting, get paid,
right.
go home.
That is interesting. I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. I just know that so many people become addicted to it because of that rush of adrenaline. Like for me, I wasn't planning on getting into stand-up. It was just a way to like further my acting career. And the first time I did it, I was like, oh, this feels amazing. I'm the only one on that stage. I'm getting all that validation. It feels really good. And I could see why people wanted to do it more and more and more. I definitely have those moments where I'm like, oh, this feels great. But I think the older I get and the longer I do it, a lot of times I'm like, yeah, this is a job. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a part of it where you go, well, I would like to get better at my job, and
right.
I'd like to get more skilled at my job.
I'd like to get advanced. I'd like to go up that ladder.
Yeah,
to a higher rank.
Or just become a better practitioner. But I felt that way about carpentry. Like
right.
I wanted to learn things and become a better carpenter.
All right. So then this begs the question, if that doesn't make you feel alive, what is the one thing or two things that make you feel alive when you're doing it?
Dance.
just got to dance.
The thing that's weird about me, like I like racing cars,
yeah.
you know, you, but,
yes.
but for me, I like doing nothing because that's something I do so little of that
right.
I enjoy nothing.
I do too.
That's my thing. I want to have a drink. I want to watch The Love
yeah.
Boat.
Yeah.
That'll be that. I have not seen it yet.
I haven't either. Let me tell you, when I look on dating apps, and there's a lot of dating apps out there, and I see men that are so active, they're surfing, they're outdoors all the time, I immediately swipe left. I need to see a guy on a couch. I need to know that at least a couple nights a week he does nothing, because that's also what I enjoy doing.
Yeah, I think
turning the brain off, not thinking, watching garbage TV or great TV, whatever, just like completely just zoning out, that actually makes me happy too.
You know, you make a valid point, which is everyone likes to pack their resume with, I like, you know, snowboarding,
yes. Yes.
I like windsurfing,
yes.
and I want to go hike in the Mojave Desert. But what about all the lazy, sedentary bitches out there like, what? I would fucking, why don't we rip a bong load and hang?
Yes. What? Let's stream an entire season of something. I'd be like,
yes.
Let's do it. That actually sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, but the problem is you could end up then with my dad, who's taking this.
Is he single?
He's married, but he's not. At some point, you got to get up Monday morning and leave the house.
That's true.
And
you're
the problem
right.
is it's hard to find the dude with the work ethic who also wants to binge watch
right.
something. We have the man show and me being attacked by the dog. Well,
oh my God, I'm so excited.
That's what we have. I guess. It's me running away from a dog.
Get him, dude.
Oh, you had a helmet on and everything.
Yeah, except the helmet flew off
okay.
immediately. Yeah, and you see we're at the end of the
yeah,
park.
Yeah, you're right by the fence.
I was
terrifying.
Starting to,
it's
yeah.
terrifying.
It's terrifying being attacked.
Yeah.
Attacked by a dog.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that dog.
I tried out for the Hawthorne police team, SWAT team. Okay. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's
great. Fun. It was a fun day. I got to go to the shooting range.
That is fun.
Yeah, they have their own. I've shot every gun they had.
I went to a shooting range once on a date.
Oh, good.
And I wore a V-neck shirt. Ladies, if you're listening, don't do that, because when the cap, when you shoot it, the cap was hot and it went down right into my cleavage. It went right.
Oh, the spent shell?
Yeah, the shell.
Oh, titty burner.
It was a titty burner.
Wow.
And it was our first date. So he was like looking like, I want to help you, but I can't help you.
Right.
We ended up having sex that night. So
yeah.
It was fine, I didn't have to fart or anything. It was a fart-free sex session. I felt so good about it.
We have we have like tweets that Chris is going to get into. Ooh. And one of them, the top one, I don't know if we have an intro to play, but oh, we do.
Here's the tweets he liked. He didn't reply because he cannot type. Here's the tweets he liked. Sent in by you to piss him off all day and all night. Here's the tweets he liked.
All right. The first one is about a dog shitting on a plane, so that brings us full circle.
Yeah, so Mike Solana, he's the VP of Founders Fund, a San Francisco venture capital firm. So he tweeted this story, and everybody was retweeting it, and it went viral. And also, I'll just read it to you. My boyfriend is on a plane to Miami right now, and a bulldog in the row next to him just had diarrhea. Everyone freaked out. The dog owner began sobbing, and the dog escaped. Now, covered in poo, it is running around the plane. People are lifting up their legs and screaming. Correction, the dog was actually next to my boyfriend. The book bag is now covered in poo. The journey began when the girl next to my boyfriend thought the dog was cute and wanted to hold him on her lap, at which point he exploded. The flight attendant is offering wine to most afflicted up front. The biohazard kit has been taken out, seat covered in blankets, and a woman in first class is upset her dinner tray has not yet been taken away. In the end, the seats were Lysoled and scrubbed. $75 in airline points were rewarded to direct hits. The lights were dimmed, and a very tired and ashamed little puppy watched TV for the rest of the trip. The plane safely landed.
Okay, so the plane is a place where you're not allowed to vape in the bathroom.
You can't do anything in the bathroom.
You couldn't pull out a Juul and vape in the bathroom. So it's the thing about the airport and the plane, it is more rules per square inch than any place on the planet.
Yes.
And yet we let crazy people fly with their crazy dogs. And, you know, some of these flights, 5 hours, 6 hours, what are the chances the dog's not going to shit? Especially when there's three of them on the same flight.
Yeah, the dog's going to shit. I love that they say that a shamed dog was – that dog has no shit. That dog has no – he doesn't care. He's so happy. You want to sit on that girl's lap. Also, I like that they just use poo each time. The dog shit. He exploded.
The dog shit all over
explosive
the place.
Explosive diarrhea.
I was in LAX, and when a dog had diarrhea – and dragged it all the way down the terminal. There was shit every 15 feet. And I was acutely aware of it, but no one else, everyone else was talking on their cell phones and dragging their wheeled luggage. And they were dragging their wheeled luggage through the dog diarrhea.
Oh, my God.
And of course, the person who did it never cleaned it up either. I have said it a million times. This was a little – the dogs on the plane thing could serve us. It could serve humanity.
How?
It was an experiment.
Okay.
It was a test.
Right.
And we failed, which is somebody said, look, we're on the honor system.
Right.
If you really need your dog medically
– medically, you can't fly without
to travel,
your dog.
Right. Then – please, you have our blessing.
Right.
But all others who are just looking for an excuse to travel with their best friend, please do not, because there are many other people on the airplane.
Yeah.
All of whom have a dog at home
yes.
that they miss,
yes.
but they don't want to inconvenience society with it. So he said, we're on the honor system, go right ahead. And every nutty fucking broad on the planet started traveling with their dog, whether they needed the dog or not. And it turned into a literal shit show at 30,000 feet. And good, experiment over. None of you can be trusted.
Yep.
Society cannot be trusted.
Exactly.
You're all such crazed narcissists that we can no longer conduct these sorts of social experiments.
Take a Xanax like the rest of us, you freaks. That is enough with your goddamn dogs.
No one ever really breaks down the actual nuts and bolts of it, which is you are so precariously wired that you can't travel
right.
without your dog to support you.
Yes.
Your dog's not a therapist. He's not a pharmacist.
Yeah, yeah.
This is essentially saying, I can't travel without my huggy bookie. Like, well, then you're fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And maybe you shouldn't be traveling.
I honestly talk about this all the time. Unless your dog shits insulin, it's not technically
right.
a service dog, okay?
Right.
Just admit you want to fly with your dog. Also, don't put the emotional support dog label on that tiny dog that is obviously so scared. That dog was trying to shit out his own emotional support dog.
Right.
That's why he was shitting. He was, like, traumatized. Like, those dogs need someone.
I was yelling this on stage in Austin after Chris on the tarmac at Burbank got his luggage peed on. By a dog that escaped.
Oh God, no!
Yeah,
really?
I put my duffel bag down just for a second to throw the other strap on my backpack.
Oh
on,
my God!
Picked it up and it was dripping.
Ew.
So on the way to the plane, I'm just like dipping it into the hot tarmac, just trying to dry it off, leaving like a trail
so that it's like warm urine.
Because
warm
somebody urine. Was trying to stuff their dog into a travel pouch,
yeah,
and the dog ran off
and just like was so freaked out and was just peeing everywhere.
It was like, I'm gonna pee everywhere. Yeah, see that dog? See, it's like you bring the dog to make you feel better, but that dog is traumatized. You've traumatized that tiny
I
animal.
I said it, Austin. Where is the support dog for the dog?
Yes.
That's the one. It's
yes,
it's, that's the creature that's traumatized
yes,
in this
exactly.
equation.
You're sitting there with your fucking glass of wine. I love that the flight attendants were giving wine to the most afflicted in the front. You're there drinking your glass of wine, and your dog is shaking in the bag,
yes.
shitting on the floor, peeing on other people's luggage. No, but we had a great flight. We did really well.
Look, here's my deal. There is no reason for anyone to travel with a dog other than that person is nuts. Now, I will accept blind.
Yes.
Other than blind, that's it. The rest is all emotional.
It's all emotional. And you have to deal with that with a therapist. Your dog isn't going
right.
to... Yes. Your
yes.
dog just wanted to be adopted. Stop
yes.
it. I literally say that all the time. It's like you take them home. They just wanted to be adopted. They're like, oh, finally, we have a forever home. Then you take them home. You put your bullshit in and day out. And now they're like a bark away from stroking out. That's
think,
the fact.
And think about the journey of the dog.
Oh, yeah,
you know
from
what
where
I mean?
It started?
Yeah, I mean, we sometimes we'll go, oh, slavery was horrible. And then we go, yeah, but what about the ship? What about being
right.
caught and rounded up and sold? There's many other components that
yes.
are equally as horrible. The dog has to, A, travel through the airport.
Right.
The airport is a sea of people that are taller than you running around, dragging luggage.
Screaming.
Who have no idea who you are. Then at some point, you wait in line, then you get pushed and you get shoved into a bag. You know what I mean? Some crazy broad carries you and you sit in this thing and there's turbulence and there's no context for the dog. The
no.
dog doesn't know he's going to Denver. All the dog knows is the ground is falling
it's
out.
Exactly.
From under his paws, and his ears are popping. He doesn't know what's going on.
This is it. He's never going to see his little bed again.
He thinks he's just entered. Also, for dogs, everything is forever.
Yes.
You know, like wherever you are.
That's it.
He thinks he's entered a aluminum shell with a tons of strangers who are annoyed by him and shoved under a seat in a bag.
Yes.
What? Okay. It's got to end.
It's got to end.
No mas.
No. I mean, I would never take my cat on a plane.
Good.
Ever.
Yeah.
I don't even if my cat was like, oh, I love, like cats don't normally like to go outside. You know what I mean? Even if my cat was like, loved it, loved being in the car, loved that. I just wouldn't because my cat belongs at home.
Yes.
That, sleeping.
Yes.
Like eating. That's why I got a cat. And then I can go do my stuff, come home and cuddle with him when I want to. I yes. don't need him with me 24 hours a day. That's why I adopted a child. She yes. is my emotional support child.
Well, also, I don't know if I would love my dog as much as I love my dog if it was just strapped to my hip 24/7. It would start to annoy me. All right, there's another video out there, another liked tweet.
Yeah, so this is a crow. Jody, we've talked about crows on this show for many years. Adam talks about how smart they are, and also they can be pretty malicious. Here's a crow trying to get two cats to fight, and successfully does it.
It's two cats squaring off.
Oh, I love it.
In a parking lot, and the crow pecks one cat in the ass. It's like urging it forward, and then the cats tangle, and the crow keeps hitting one in the ass to get it to go fight the other cat, and then it seems to enjoy the scrum.
Oh my God, this is amazing. That's like, he's like the manager. The crow's like the manager. Like, get in there. Like, get him. Like, get, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like the UFC ref where
right,
he's
yes.
like, come on, let's get busy. Let's get come on
right.
now.
And you guys aren't, you just, you know what I mean? How like the boxers sometimes just go around and nobody's throwing a jab, right. you know what I mean? That's what the, he's doing that. But I love that the people with the dogs just kept walking.
The deeper part of this, they're probably late for their flight. The deeper part of this was the crow was being entertained
totally.
By the combat of the cats.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And by the way, cats have been known historically to take down a bird or two.
Yeah, they have no interest in the crow.
The crow is putting itself in jeopardy by hanging out with two cats.
Totally.
Like, at some point, the two cats... Because this happened, it happened to me in high school when one of my friends was peeing on the other friend in the bathroom, and I walked in to watch.
Well, obviously.
And at some point, as they were attempting to pee on each other, they both just turned and looked at me.
And peed on you.
And then looked at each other and went, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Let's pee on him.
Yeah.
That's what the cat could have done. The
easily.
Cats could have looked at each other and went, why are we fighting?
What are
we got
doing?
A bird
here. There's a
bird
here. Right
we
there.
We have an antagonistic bird. Why don't we kick the shit out of this bird? The crow was hanging out just in, like, literally.
Totally.
Could have pulled up a box of popcorn.
That's what he was doing. That was like, oh my God, that was amazing. I have three outdoor cats that are like little murderers, and I love them all, but they bring dead birds up to my daughter's like little, by her doors, by her mm-hmm. room, as offerings for her.
Yeah.
They're like, this is for you. But it's usually a half-eaten bird. It's
right.
really, it's usually the head. I'm not even kidding you. It's really upsetting. I've watched one of them in midair, jump up. I had a fountain in my backyard. My father got it for me when I moved into my house. It was a beautiful fountain. I remember looking outside the window. The fountain was going, and the birds were using it as a bird bath. And I thought, what a lovely backyard I have. And like the second later, one of my outdoor cats jumped up. It's a feral cat. It's been there since before it moved in. Snapped the bird's neck midair, just came down, and then walked right over to the door and dropped it for me. It was so disturbing, and yet I was slightly turned on.
Your dad bought you a fountain.
Yes.
That's a good dad.
It's a good dad.
See, how many fountains have my parents bought me over the years? See, there was the house under the Hollywood sign. Zero.
No fountains.
Zero fountains.
Did you ever actually ask for a fountain? Because I actually asked for a fountain.
You asked your dad for a fountain.
Because my dad's
as an
all
adult.
About like the, you know, the backyards and the trees, and he has a greenhouse. He's all into that stuff. So we went to get some plants to fill up some holes, and I saw a beautiful fountain, and I said, oh God, I would love a fountain. My dad said, let me get that for you as a housewarming gift.
Wow.
And I haven't turned it on since that bird was killed, because right after that, more birds came and I was like, it's a trap.
You're right.
It's a trap.
Yes.
Get out of here.
No, you're aiding and abetting at
I
this
was
point.
Totally, I was like, the cats were so excited when I got this fountain.
You become like a wheel man in a bank robbery.
Oh my God, like,
you didn't go into the bank, but you were there.
I'm responsible for a lot of birds' deaths.
Yes.
Even now, the fountain's not even on and they still die.
Is the fountain one of those plug-in, got a pump?
It's does yes, it, yeah. It's actually really big. It's like waist height, and it's like a shell, and it looks like it's got a crack in it in the water. It's really tranquil and beautiful, and it hasn't been on in 2 years.
I built a fountain
you did?
Once. Yes.
Was it hard? It doesn't seem that hard.
No. It was a pretty grand fountain.
Oh. I mean, like anything. You just have to get the pump and then, the plug, and then you just build around it, right?
Well, First off, you're burning a lot of calories minimizing my fountain the effort that went into building it.
I meant the months that it took you to do that. And then you get the...
I got the big sort of half cornerstone, you know, that made a circle, and mortared them in place and built the mortar bed.
Wow.
And I did a...
Where is this fountain?
It was in front of a house. I don't know. Chris can probably find it up...
you built it for someone?
Lake Hollywood. I built it for the house.
Oh, for your house.
And yeah, for my house.
And you still have it?
No, I ended up selling the house.
And then
I argued with the pool man and my ex-wife about who's going to put water in it for like 2 years. And then eventually one of her friends backed into it.
Oh.
And I just filled it with dirt. It was really a losing fountain for me. But it ended up turning into a huge potted plant, essentially. Oh.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, I would have preferred the fountain, but the fountain takes you have to take the hose out to it like once a week.
I know.
And that can be a bridge too far for certain
people. I don't have time for that.
Certain people.
Is that your planter fountain?
That's the fountain after it turned into a planter.
Oh, all right. Yeah, okay, so you do the round and then the level up. And then, that's nice.
Yeah, but it used to be a pretty cool fountain.
I actually kind of like it as a planter, especially if there were like, you know, colored flowers going all the
way. Yeah, it looked okay. I liked the fountain, but the fountain was like, I was trying to convince the pool man that the fountain was part of his jurisdiction.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And he was like, I do the pool.
You're like, this is also filled with water.
It's a body of water. It's on the property. Just run the hose in it once a week for 10 minutes or skim it or something.
What's the problem? My pool guy would have done it.
No, I had to fire many a pool guy.
Did you? I have a pool guy who is the sweetest man. He came with the house because he took care of the previous owners. And he's easily 90. I think he's easily 90. He's this old little man. And mm-hmm. It's so terrible. He's so sweet. He doesn't have a lot of teeth. He is the sweetest man ever. And I'm always scared, like, because he comes on Tuesdays. And, like, sometimes he's late. But I'm always thinking, this is the day.
Yeah.
This is the day he doesn't come.
Or worse, you come home and find him in the pool.
No!
Well, I mean, if you're going to be elderly and leaned over bodies of water all day.
Yeah, I found,
doing
a, dead,
strenuous
I found
stuff,
a baby possum in my pool. I was really
there
sad.
You go. That's an eerie harbinger.
Oh, my God.
What's to come? It always starts with the bird.
There was never a bird. There was a rat.
Bird in the fountain.
Okay, bird in the fountain.
Then it goes possum in the pool.
Possum in the pool.
Then it goes pool man in the pool.
Oh, God. What's after pool man in the pool?
Trial. Because there's manslaughter. You should have had it fenced. The coping was slippery. Civil.
Okay, that's fine.
All right. Sammy the Bull Gravano is out there. He's a very interesting guy because I've interviewed him before. Oh, my God. Confessed the involvement of 19 murders as a government witness. I mean.
That's amazing.
There's a handful of.
It's amazing he couldn't just make it to 20.
Testified. Well, that's what he said. Testified against John Gotti. I mean, entered the witness relocation protection program in 95. I mean, just a crazy life.
His life gives me anxiety.
Well, be prepared for an hour worth of anxiety. We'll take a quick break back with Sammy the Bull right after this.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV. All for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the
the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mails box. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Golden Valley, Arizona. A 43-year-old man was charged with 93 counts of animal cruelty after a woman reported him to animal control because he failed to return snakes that she lent him for breeding. Animal control authorities found a freezer containing 183 dead dogs, rabbits, rats, turtles, and birds. Definitely not a Jew.
Sammy the Bull Gravano back in studio. He's got a podcast called Our Thing, Season 5, available for streaming on Crime and Conspiracy Network. And you can check out his website, SammyTheBull.com. Good to see you again, Sammy.
My pleasure. We had a great time last time, and I think I stole some of your viewers, and I'm going to try and do it again.
Good.
Nice.
There's enough room in the podcast world for people who love Sammy and myself. We know about Sammy's past, but I'll get some people caught up. Initiated in the Gambino family and made. He was a made man. We now all learn that from Goodfellas and other movies in 1976. How were you made? Do you remember that day and what the ceremony was?
Clear as a bell. It was one of the most important days of my life. In a way, it was good, and in a way, it screwed up my life. So it was important in a lot of different ways. I went to a little house, went down the basement. Paul Castellano was there, table full of guys, captains and made guys. I took a blood oath. I cut my finger. I put my blood on a saint. Rolled it back and forth in my hand while I took the oath, and as of that day, I was a made member.
What is the oath? Do you remember it?
You know, I initiated the oath to other people when I got up in rank. There's a lot of things. The Italian part, parts of it I knew. Parts of it, when they were talking in Italian, I didn't even understand. But they ask you a lot of questions. They tell you it's a brotherhood and a secret society. And if you'd like to be a member of that secret society, and then they ask you things, would you kill for the family? And they asked if I knew everybody who was there. And I said yes. Most of them I knew. But I knew their position. Some of them were captains and some of them were made guys. And they asked if I liked them, and I said yes. And all of some rules of Goes in Austria, that would be explained later. And I took the blood oath, and I became a made member in the mafia.
What is the ranking order to the mafia if you sort of compared it to the military, where you go, okay, the four-star general, that's the Don or something, and then you move down, like you say, like captain and made guys. Now, you'd right. have to be a made guy to be a captain, right?
Yeah, before you were a captain, you would be a made guy. The administration, they call it, is the head of the family, the boss, the underboss, and the consigliere of the family. Below them are the captains. Below them, each captain has a crew of made men. Below that, there's associates in the mafia. The boss, the representant of the family, is the father of the family. It's a little different than the military, because I was in the military. I understand the chain of command with that. But he is the father of your family. So he's above, they tell you, he's above everything. God, country, and family.
Good.
Personal family.
So tell me what you think of this, because we'll try to have some more modern day application to the days of yore when you were in the family. You know, I'm looking down and you see that, you guys were involved in construction and trucking. It was your garbage and stuff like that. And it seems to me that organized crime sort of does what we'll let them do. And if you take a look at, let's say, the Mexican, what's going on in Mexico and a lot of those, a lot of the organized crime there, they'll go, all right, we're in the pot business. And then at some point we legalize pot. Mm-hmm. And they go, okay, now we're in the fentanyl business. And then we'll legalize this or change that. And they go, okay, now we're in the human trafficking business. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very fluid. Like, they'll go where the money is, and they will be totally diverse.
Yeah.
You know, they're doing drugs. They're doing people. They're doing coyote smuggling work. Like, they're literally doing, but again, doing what essentially we shut this door and they just go open that door. Is that a fair assessment? And how much do you know about?
Well, that's the Mexican gangs, cartels, stuff like that. The mafia is different. We see what society needs and wants. It started with prohibition and so many different things. And we fit right in. Gambling started with us.
Right.
Vegas started with us. Construction industries, garbage, making bread. Every industry we infiltrated. Clothing industry, the diamond industry, the stock market. You name it, we're in it. Some capacity, we fit our 2 cents in it. Unions were literally created and run by the mob back in the day. So we fit in all over the place, and we take a piece of everything that we do. So we're different. We don't I don't want to compare myself with a cartel or the mafia with a cartel. We do have some scruples and morals above that. You mentioned fentanyl. You know, I'm on a campaign with that. I can't stand that drug. You know, and I'm talking on shows and I'm talking about how they're getting all kinds of different pills and they're lacing it with that.
Right.
They're intentionally getting people hooked.
Right.
And killing a lot of people because it, just a little bit, you can like accidentally overdose. Just like the smallest amount. It's so scary.
It's horrible. We've had, I think something like the number one killer of people under 40 now
is
ODing. And the thing that's fucked up about it is the people in power, the government, fucked up the border. So all the fentanyl's coming over the border. So we go, what's going on with the fentanyl? And they go, well, we're not interested because it's coming over because we fucked up the border. So we don't have the people in charge taking note of it, because the next question, if you go to fentanyl is a national emergency, then the next question is what the fuck are you doing with the border? And they don't want to get to that next question.
Let me jump in for that.
Yes.
You know, we have a ship. Let's call it, we have a ship, a naval ship in the water. We have 200 sailors on it. And it's torpedoed or missile hit it from another country. It wouldn't take 2 seconds. We would declare war. We'd be in an all-out war for 200 people in a ship.
Right.
We have 100,000 people hooked on fentanyl. 50,000 people died. And there's no war.
Right.
That's okay. Opening up the border, we're humane, and we letting this come in. It's not that we don't know. Every government agency is telling the government, all the Border Patrol, everybody. This is pouring into our country. Now, they're not stupid politicians. So what is it? If they're not stupid, they completely understand what's going on, why wouldn't they shut this border? So it brings back money, greed, power. Mm-hmm. This is where the mafia differs from that, even a these politicians. You could say the mafia is more violent or more dangerous. I don't think so.
Oh, not than the cartels.
Not even close. God. Not only the cartels, we know where it's coming from. We know it's coming from China and India.
Yeah. No, not only that, but I mean, they have a whole semi-trucks with 50 people who just perished in the most unimaginable way possible, just locked into the back of a container in the back of a semi-truck, just abandoned in the Texas desert to all expire. 50 people, and our government wants to get the Border Patrol mounted patrol suspended because there's pictures of them waving their reins around while Haitians run for cover. That's where they focus all of their energy, which is insane. It's totally insane what's happened.
And I would like to ask you more than him.
Yes.
Where's the Me Too movement? Where are they? In other words, there's kids being raped, molested, on coming through the border. Legitimate people from Mexico and different countries. It's not just Mexico.
Yeah.
Coming through for really to try to get away from some horrible countries. They're being prostituted, raped.
It's terrible.
Killed. But where's the Me Too movement? Why don't they say something about that?
I have no idea because that's – I have
a few. I don't mean it because you're a woman. I'm saying it. I'm directing it as Me Too movement, as woman. Why wouldn't you care about that?
It's the same as when some Muslims beat a woman to death for not wearing her hijab correctly. Yes. They don't give two fucks.
Right.
They're worried about states and abortion or the ceiling 77 cents of the dollar. They're worried about first world woman's problems versus the real atrocities that are going on because they're hypocrites. But also, there are the most woke people in the world, and the Muslims are a different culture, and the Mexicans are a different culture, and they're a little bit darker in skin tone, and you cannot judge. The second somebody becomes an ethnicity other than white, we're done judging. We spend all our energy trying to tear down a fucking statue of some founding father or something, and we have zero thoughts about what's going on in the Middle East or on the other side
of
the border.
It's horrific.
You know, I just had a serious argument. Somebody was telling me about during the pandemic, there's a problem with people giving up dogs to shelters and they couldn't afford to feed them or they're giving them up. And nobody adopts them during this pandemic. They didn't want them. So they're killing dogs. They're putting them down. And I just talked to some people, women, and they were completely livid by that.
Yes.
So I said, what would you want them to do with all these dogs if there's that many? I mean, and then you're super involved in that. It's really disgusting. But you don't mind a woman's body, you want to kill kids. You want to have abortions.
There's a lot of
hypocritical bullshit. Well,
there's a lot of
kill people.
First off, women
worried about dogs.
Listen, if you here's a woman's wiring. If you said a plane crashed and 279 people, including the crew, died, and they'd go, oh, and then you go, and three dogs. They'd go, oh my God,
right?
Like.
By the way, speaking as a woman, that is not me.
That is not you.
That is definitely not me.
I'm going to give you a couple $100. Your pants are ripped. What's the matter?
I actually came here to get a couple $100 from you. That's why I wore these pants.
You got it.
I have a question.
Years ago, if I wore pants with rips like that, they'd call me a bum. Now it's sexy. It's cool.
It is.
I love it.
And I'll take that $200.
I have a question that I've never thought of, and I don't know if it's ever been asked. But, you're talking about the mafia getting involved with unions and getting involved with bakeries and transportation and construction and garbage and all that prohibition. It was kind of interesting. What you're saying is people want to gamble and they wanted booze. The mafia just went, all right,
yeah,
we'll figure this out. But did the mafia or has the mafia made any businesses better in the sense that I have an agent, you have an agent, mm-hmm. you know, they take 10% yeah. or whatever, but you go, I'll give you your cut. You wet your beak because you got me a better job
right.
or a better deal. Did, in your recollection, has the mafia made any businesses better, innovated?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we made Vegas. We built half the country by bringing in people and running unions and stuff like that. But politicians are what destroyed it. Politicians turned around with the unions and for donations to politicians. It's not money under the table. It's an actual donation. They made laws that were horrible for the people. I'll give you an example. They had the car business. So they passed a law that everybody who works 15, 18 years gets a retirement thing. And that was good. It was passed and it went through. The only thing is that people who went to work there at 23 years old, they were retiring at 43. And we're paying them forever.
Right.
Now, if you look at the statistics, most of the cars, about a third of the car, is paid into people who don't even work there no more.
Right.
So if a $30,000 car, if you could find one for $30,000, $10,000 is going to people who are not even working there, and the $20,000 is for the car, the material, and people who are working there. So we're paying a fortune.
Yeah. I always have this thought. If you ever know someone, I have a cousin who's like married to a fireman, and then you see him at Thanksgiving, you know, and you go like, what are you doing? And the guy's like 47. He's like, I'm thinking of retiring next year because yes. I can get full benefits for the rest of my life. And I'm like, I've never even danced for half a step with the notion of retiring. It's like, I got to get out and earn every single day. Mm-hmm. This guy's 10 years younger than me, and he's talking about full benefits and full pay. And by the way, doing another job.
Yeah, of course.
Like I'm just going to get into construction. Right. You know, yes, there is a thing that we think, like, what's wrong with taking care? Like, we do this all the time. We go, like, don't these people deserve to be taken care of? Look around. Look in this building. Who amongst us is guaranteed to be taken care of for the rest of our lives? It's kind of up to us. Yeah. Like, if you'd like to sock some money away or make some investments, good on you. But I don't – I always – it's funny. You'll go, like, the cop, the fireman, the school mm-hmm. teacher. You go, yeah, you need to be taken care of. But then I look around. I see the guy working at Trader Joe's and the person – single mom doing yeah. comedy. It's like, where's your pension? Where's your taking care of you?
I think it's good that they get a retirement, but not full pay.
Is
get a retirement pay, 40%, 30% or something. But see, they pass these laws.
No, listen, I talked to a guy who sold private aircraft once. He was our Uber driver.
So now he's an Uber driver and he used to sell private airplanes?
Well, there's two kinds of Uber drivers. There is the desperate person right. who's unemployable,
right.
who you get 86% of the
right.
time.
Yes.
Then once in a while, you get the 77-year-old retired
yes,
guy
okay, who just wants
who's made
to
his
do.
Nut. He right. just gets up at 4:30 every yeah. morning and he's bored.
Just loves driving people to the airport.
He likes talking to people. And he said to us, I think... half the cost of every private, you know, if you want to buy a Learjet for $25 million, half of it is insurance shit.
Oh
like,
God.
It, half of it is right. litigation. You could imagine mm-hmm. all the cases and all the litigations
oh, yeah.
and all the whatever. It's like you are paying. It's getting all tacked on to the price of this car or the price of the plane. Like,
right.
it's all lawyers, insurance, government. Blah, blah, blah.
Everything gets piled on.
So, Sammy, I think we talked last time you were here about some of the hits. Are we calling them hits you've done over the years?
You could.
Do yeah. they say the word hit? Or how would they say
yeah.
it if they
well,
wanted
I mean,
someone
they
to
say
go away?
A lot of things. I got your ticket.
Oh.
Your ticket means, if I'm talking to another mob guy, I have Adam's ticket.
Oh.
Really? Do you need help?
Oh.
All right.
So if I got your ticket, you know, I don't want to say on the phone that I got Adam's hit.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of bugs on these phones. So you would say something, I got a ticket.
Right.
How much negotiation, like if somebody says, hey, we're going to give you Adam's ticket. How much wiggle room is there for you to go, yeah, you know, he's not that bad a dude? Or
yeah,
no, there's plenty of room. In other words, I've done that a ton of times. In other words, we don't need to do that. There's no need to that. It depends on the situation. It depends what rule you broke, and it depends on the boss. The boss's word is gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So I could present myself to the boss and say, listen, I know the guy a lot of years. He made this mistake. We could talk to him. We could do this. We could do that. We could chase him. Get the fuck out of New York and never come back. We could do a lot of things. But if the boss don't want to hear your argument, you got
to
go.
How many times would the boss listen to you and be like, okay, we'll give him another shot, or he can just leave?
It happened a lot. When we killed Paul Castellano with Tommy Bilotti, I sat in a room with Frankie DiCicco, who was still alive, John Gotti, myself, and Joe Watts and a few people. And Joe Watts said, if we take out Joey Bilotti now, we could take over Staten Island.
Right.
And I had said, that's what we're going to do now? We're going to kill people over money. And Frankie said, what do you think, Sammy? I think he's a tough guy. But I think he understands the life. His brother was with Paul. His brother was a dick. And he had to go. I think we should give him a chance. And Frankie DiCicco agreed with me. And John said, well, who's going to go sit with him? I said, I'll go sit with him. And I was a captain right after the hit. And I could put him with me. If he strikes out, he's going to take a captain out. I'll put him with me. And Frankie says, I'll go with Sammy and talk with him. And we saved him. He died of old age.
Wow.
So I saved him. I sat with him. When I met with him in a diner, Frankie DiCicco was with me. I said, Joey, how long you know me? A lot of years, Sammy. I opened my jacket. There was a gun. I said, if I was here to kill you, would you be dead? Absolutely. And I closed my jacket. I said, I'm not here for that. I'm here to save you. What happened with your brother happened with your brother. Your brother's got a bunch of kids. You got a bunch of kids. You got your kids, your nieces, your nephews to take care of. You've been a good man. You understand goes in Austria. You understand what your brother did. You can live. You'll be under me. Frankie told him that's exactly why I'm here, because Sammy talked for you. And he lived.
What did his brother do that got him not to live?
He was a bully. He was really ready to hurt you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He was not a good guy. He was one of them vicious guys. He was a bully. And he was there to hurt you all the time. So who's going to talk to him? He wasn't liked because of those reasons. So if he's going to be there and he's Paul's right-hand man, fuck it, he goes to him.
Yeah, it's weird. Sort of like any job. It's so much easier to fire a shithead than it is
person. Absolutely.
You cut them so much more leeway and slack, you know?
Right.
And I guess the mafia is that way, too. Like, if you're just personable.
Right.
You bring donuts to the mob meeting every time. It's just going
to
be...
People like to work with you.
People will not want to whack you.
Well, I love
readily.
Donuts. I never thought of that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, that would work with
that
me.
That would work for you. Sure. Can I ask you a question? What is the ratio, and is there like a turning point, I mean, between the good guys and the ones that, like, either get a taste of the power or the taste of the killing, and they just become like serial killers? They just become vicious. Like, what is the ratio? How often did that happen?
It's small ratio. Roy DeMeo, Gas Pipe, they got like that.
Right.
We don't deal with that. Roy DeMeo was killed because of that. Mm-hmm. He crossed that line. It's not a hit. It's not a, he was killing right. people for nothing.
Right.
And I remember going to
And that's a big liability, right?
Oh, a tremendous liability. And I'll give you the I went to a meeting one time. We were talking about stealing cars and delivering them to Kuwait. He was there with his captain. I was an acting captain. Louis Melito was my guy. We sat down. We talked. And he would drift away. We had a back room where there was all retired people sitting down. And he drifted away, was looking at the people. So I told him, Roy, this is starting to bore you, this conversation. No, no, sir. I mean, what's the matter? No, I don't know. You see, you're watching over there. We're talking here. And he said, look at these people. It was about 30 people, maybe a little less. I think the youngest person may have been 60. Mm-hmm. The oldest one was 90. And he says, if I had 2 9-millimeters, I could kill all of these fucking people before you can blink your eyelash.
Oh, my God.
And I said, wow. Most of them would have a heart attack as soon as you start shooting.
But,
so I says, all right. And I says, you listen, let's wind this up, the meeting. We wound it up. And I was walking out with Louis Melito. I said, did you hear what he told me about killing the people? Yeah. He says, yeah, I heard him. I said, we got to pay attention to this, bro. Who the fuck? We're talking about bringing cars to Kuwait and making money,
right.
stealing cars. He's thinking about killing these people, old people. Bro, when we meet with him, when we make any appointments, let's get on guard. This guy lost it. That's what he's fantasizing about, bro, while we're talking about cars. He wasn't even paying attention to cars no more. And sure enough, he became a serial killer, killed tons of people. And this is why I got killed.
And we're you say serial killer. That. By the way, just so you know, when people are talking about old people, I'm thinking about cars. So I have the wiring you need for these kinds of discussions.
Your dad had a stroke. As soon as you said cars, Adam checked out of the rest of that story.
About
he's
cars.
Like, wake up back to the cars.
When you say serial killer, do you mean serial killer within the mob or – we're going outside.
No, outside.
No, outside. Not outside or not?
Listen, I had another conversation with him. I went down to his club. And
how many people do you think he killed?
200.
Oh, my God.
Really?
Yeah, I believe he killed 200 people.
So he's the most prolific serial killer ever. Then.
Oh, probably. I went to him and told him that Paul was looking for guys to become made guys. And I had some guys that I was going to propose. I said, you got a lot of good guys around. You're going to propose people? He said, yeah, maybe. He says, all my guys are good. I said, yeah. I said, they did work and all. Yeah. He said, Sammy, the coffee boy killed 20 people with me. What? The coffee boy. He said, I killed over 200 people. I said, 200 people? Who the fuck is giving you this work? You're a head guy. Who's giving you this? Because you're not allowed to just go kill people. You got to get permission from the boss and everything. He wasn't asking permission from the boss. His uncle worked at a bar. This is all documented stuff now because people cooperated around him and everything. And his uncle at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, would call up. There's a guy here. Nobody's here. He's drunk. He'd tell his guys, all right, stop playing cards. Come on, let's go. They go in the bar. They bring him in. They shoot him. They strip him, they hang him in the shower, cut his throat, cut his everything open so to bleed him out so they don't have to make a mess. Chop him up and get rid of the body and continue playing cards.
Because he wouldn't leave the bar.
No, there's no reason. He told me, he said, Sammy, because I told him, the guy didn't do anything, it's just the guy in the bar. Oh. He said, yeah. So I said, bro, that's fucking wild. Why would you do that? He says, Sam, you got to keep them sharp. You know what I mean? Now, tough guy or no tough guy, I says, yeah. I know what you mean. I do the same thing, which I didn't, but I'm not going to let him know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, bro, this fucking guy is completely gone. This is a serial killer.
Right.
And it was known by a lot of guys. John Gotti knew it. Frank A. Chico knew it. Paul got to know it. And we killed him. Listen, we would kill a serial killer or a rapist or a child molester in our neighborhood because it's our neighborhood. Even though I don't know you, you're a person in our, my neighborhood. This neighborhood belongs to me. You belong to me. I don't want you touched. I don't want you raped. Could be you. It could be my daughter. It could be my cousin. It could be my niece. It could be something. So we don't want this guy in our neighborhood. There was that guy, the son of Sam, a long time ago. He was shooting couples in the car, making love. And the mob actually started working with the cops to hunt them down. And that's a true story, too. So we don't want that in our neighborhood. I mean, people who came in our neighborhood, they weren't afraid of us because they would give the answer. Yeah, they kill. They kill each other when they break rules. But to us, we're safe.
What would you how did you go about killing this guy?
Who?
The serial killer.
Roy DeMeo?
Roy DeMeo.
I wasn't involved in the murder. Frankie DiCicco called me one day and he says, Sammy, I got Roy's ticket. I said, I'll meet you in a little bit. And I said, bro, the whole fucking crew is out of their minds. They're all dangerous, the whole crew. They're all sick. You need help? He said, no, I got this covered. Paul had given the contract to John Gotti. John Gotti heard he had the contract. It was obvious he was nervous about it. Paul withdrew the contract from him and gave it to Frankie DiCicco. Frankie DiCicco went and grabbed his two guys, they called them the twins, and said, all of you are going to die. I could get you two guys a pass. Yous kill them. You two guys kill him.
Oh, so his own crew.
His own crew. The two top guys he had killed him. And they got a pass. Frankie and Paul lived to their word. But we transferred them the fuck out of the family. We gave them to the Lucchese family, to gas pipe. Not a half a cycle. We got rid of them. We didn't kill them, but we got rid of them.
His partially frozen body was found in the trunk of his car. With a chandelier on top of it, so says the internet. So this guy was killing civilians. He'd just kill anybody.
Anybody.
Oh, my God.
And they think they got to 200.
That was his words to me. Now, I don't know for a fact, but believe me, I took his word because that's what they were doing in that bar. That guys in that crew who cooperated later said this. So this is a factual thing. He gave names and people. I don't know if the number reached 200, but that's what he told me. But I knew he was completely gone. I know he killed. There was a thing about a guy, a salesman, was coming to his house. He saw him, and he went and grabbed a gun. He thought, I don't know what he thought. The guy went backwards and went to the car, opened up the trunk, and got something out of the trunk. When he came up to his house, he killed him. It wound up being, he was probably paranoid. It wound up being a salesman. He went back to his trunk to get some, whatever the fuck he was selling.
Right. Vacuum cleaner.
Yeah.
You could say vacuum cleaner. Whatever it was. It wasn't a thing, but it was a box or some.
Encyclopedias.
And he gets killed.
Oh, my God.
So this is, he was just completely off
gone.
The wall.
He was fantasizing about killing like 30 men right there. I mean, that's, yes.
30 old people.
Can I ask you a question? I mean, we were talking a little bit about this before, about the emotional support dog, but okay, what was your level of stress when you were deep in it? I can't, just reading about your life, which is incredibly interesting, gives me anxiety. How was it like every day when you'd wake up? Were you just like, today could be my last, did you feel that stress day in and day out?
No.
You didn't?
No.
You just never thought about it?
I thought about it. I thought when I was a little younger and I got into the mafia and I started doing things, I says, I'm not going to live to 40. Either I'm going to go to prison for life or I'm going to die. And I just lost fear. I just didn't even enter my mind anymore. It was like an everyday thing. I lived my life in the mafia. I did a lot of things, ran unions. I did construction. I just didn't wake up. I didn't want to kill somebody every morning or do anything.
Right.
And when I got ordered to do something, I did it. I did it very effectively. I wound up being a top-notch hit guy. That's why I have so many, because I was used for it. I didn't pull the trigger all the time. Mm-hmm. I planned these things. My planning, I was in three mafia wars. I was in the Colombo family in a mafia war. I was in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, that mafia war, and then the one with Paul. The Paul one is my planning. I sat in the car with John Gotti, was my driver, and I had the the walkie-talkie, talking to the hit guys. Get ready, the backup shooters, the shooters. That was my plan.
Yeah, backup shooters.
Oh, absolutely. I was as well. I had a 357 Magnum and the walkie-talkie. So when I planned this in with Frankie DiCicco and myself and John Gotti says, it's crazy. It's 5:30 at night in Manhattan. There's 50 million cops, people all over the place. So I said, I think that'll work in our favor. Frankie DiCicco said, hey, John, this is your fucking problem. We're coming to help you. If you don't want to do it, then me and Sammy are out. You do it by yourself. And he said, no, we'll do it. And I thought of that. The confusion, Manhattan, shoulder to shoulder, 5:30 at night right before Christmas, people are coming down.
So many people.
To come down and meet the people coming out of work. Going to the, you know, to see the Christmas tree or shopping or go to Broadway plays or whatever they're doing. So it was overpacked. And I knew that something like that, cops were mostly on the corners. There was no place to park. Sparks Steakhouse had the front. You couldn't park, so you would pull your car in there. A guy would take it and go park it. So that's the only place they could stay. So we knew where he was going to be, where the car was going to be, and I planted people right around it. There was 11 guys on that hit. And I said, as soon as the shooting starts, there's going to be such confusion, people running, ducking, screaming. Nobody's going to know what the hell is going on. John, again, wasn't happy with it, but Frankie said, that's the plan. We were planning this for quite a while. We couldn't get the right spot. And it worked to a T. The cops, when I cooperated, I was talking with the agents. They said a cop actually witnessed it off duty. And they asked him, why didn't you go for your service revolver? Mm-hmm. He said, the way it was came down, so instant, so fast, it was so well planned. I knew there had to be backup shooters. I wasn't taking out a fucking gun. I knew that something was wrong. And they asked him about it. When I cooperated and I was with them, I said, listen, the guy wasn't wrong, bro. He may have been about 75 feet, because I asked, where was he? I said, he was about 75 feet in front of me. I said, he was right. I was also a backup shooter. Once the shooting stopped, I put the thing down. I would have jumped out of the car and I would have killed him.
Right.
So I'm telling you, the guy was right. He made a smart move. By not, and it was so well planned. He couldn't stop it. He couldn't do anything. And it happened so quick. And there was such a flow of people running in every which direction.
When you say how quick was it from the beginning to end?
If somebody threw a shot in this room right now, boom, 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 right now, that quick. Oh. The whole three of us.
Seconds.
It's seconds. It's not even, it's a split second.
Oh my God.
We all three of us would react. Oh my God, we would react to it. We would duck or look, this and that. We're not paying attention where the shot and who's shooting.
Right.
We're paying attention to get the fuck away from something that's going on. Excuse my language.
That's all right. So it's kind of interesting in that I think people think we should do it on a dark, quiet street. Mm-hmm. Somewhere, but the chaos factor is something that was planned into it because
at Christmas time,
it's sort of like when there's a school shooting and everyone's running out of the school. Mm-hmm. The cops don't know who the shooter is because
what's going on?
Humanity is just pouring out into the street, and they don't know who's done what.
Yeah.
And that's what you were relying on.
Yeah,
right. That was my plan, and I didn't plan the Russian hats and the white jackets, the trench coats. I didn't plan that. Somebody else did, but it was perfect. again, after I cooperated, I talked with the feds, and they said, Sammy, we interviewed 50, 60 people who saw the shooting. And what'd you get? Nothing. We asked people how tall. We got all different sizes. Nothing matched. What they looked like. They had Russian hats and white coats. How heavy were they? I don't know. 40 people, 50 people, witnesses. They got zero.
Did you, you spent a lot of time with the FBI.
Yeah.
What do you reckon's going on with the FBI now?
This isn't the FBI that I, when I cooperated, I was with a group of FBI people who were real FBI people, legitimate FBI people who cared about right and wrong. I'll tell you what they told me all the time. Tell the fucking truth. I had told them once in a case, they had arrested somebody. I said, sometimes you're going to love me, sometimes you're going to hate me. They said, why? I said, because this guy you arrested, that's not true. He didn't do this. When you understand, if you're asked, tell the truth. That's all. Don't worry about losing the case. We're not going to hate you. As long as you tell the truth, and if we lose the case because of that, so be it. So those are the kind of FBI guys that I was with. There was a couple that were a little weird, and they pulled them away from me immediately. I'll give you an example. I'm talking with them every morning and playing chess. I was with them for months, and I lived with them, ate with them, lived with them, slept with them.
Well, where were you?
Quantico, military base.
Oh, Quantico. Interesting. Yeah.
So, I don't know, I forgot what I was going to say, but whatever it was, I mean, I was with them, and they were, you know, straight up with me with everything. One guy comes to me, one agent, at night after we got done talking, we ate, and a couple of them went to bed. So he comes over and he says, me and you, we're going to have a very close relationship. We're going to have secrets. Really? I thought I'm cooperating. I'm telling the truth. What secrets are we going to have? No, just between me and you. I told him, are you gay?
I just was going to say that.
What kind of fucking secrets? He said, no, I'm not gay, Sammy. Then what kind of secrets are we going to have, bro? I mean, I'm here cooperating. I told it all. There's no secrets. He's playing good guy, bad guy, cop with me. It's a fucking childish game. And the next day, they got rid of him. I never saw him again.
Really?
They got rid of him. And there was one agent who wrote up something. I know I told the story, and then he wrote it up. They called it a 302. And they took it to me, and they said, Sammy, read this. I read it. And I said, where'd you get this from? It's the story of this hit. Whoever's telling you this is lying, bro. I'm telling you, I just told you the story. That's a lie. They called the guy in. They said, that's what you told us. And I said, bro, I didn't tell you that. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I didn't tell you that. The prosecutor came in and said, he took the paper and read it and said, I heard him telling the story. What the fuck did you write here? And he ripped it up and threw it away and said, from here on out, write a brief, because it was 2 pages long, write a brief story. Because if Sammy's on the stand, he's not going to go with this. He'll say this is bullshit. The lawyer will say, well, the FBI guy did it. Well, then he's lying. I don't know who the fuck is lying, but I did not say this. That's what I will say in court.
So your experience with the FBI is they were straight up.
Straight up.
And recently they seem to be a little bit politicized, I would say.
A little bit?
A little bit. Yeah.
You're being kind.
Yeah, which is kind of weird territory to be in, to have them rooting for one side or the other and affecting elections and outcomes and things like that. I mean, it's like, it's not a conspiracy theory. First off, whistleblowers are now coming out. But the fact, to me, that something like the Hunter Biden laptop that 51 former FBI and CIA and security all signed a petition saying it reeked of Russian collusion when they had the laptop. Like, that's the part. I get what CNN is doing. They want Biden to win, so they're covering for Biden's. And 60 Minutes, you know, going, there's no way to verify it. It's like, how can you keep saying there's nowhere to verify something that you have in your possession, which is a laptop, which is the most verifiable thing in the world? But the fact that the FBI was essentially running interference for Biden and his son, and now that the whistleblowers are coming out, it's also abundantly clear because of why would 51 guys sign a petition saying what it was when they never examined it? Everyone should have been agnostic, including ABC and CNN. They should have went, I don't know if it's real.
Right.
Someone look into it. Not, I won't look into it, and it's not real.
Right.
Which is what they did, which is now a scary time because the FBI, who was supposed to just be dealing with guys like Sammy, are now kind of wetting their beaks in political matters and elections and things like that, which is not what we want them to do.
I've talked, I'm still friendly with some agents. They retired. And I asked that question, not on a show. I'm not going to mention their names. And I said, what do you think of this, bro? He said, Sam, you know, I was with you originally when you flipped and you were with us. And I've been an FBI agent most of my life. When kid growing up, that was my dream. I'm sick. I'm embarrassed to tell people that I'm an ex-FBI agent. Good. I'm glad you feel that way. I knew you would.
It's almost kind of reminds me of the arc of the mafia versus the drug cartels, which is that the mafia operated with some dignity and some honor and some codes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you could definitely not like what they were doing, but they had a code.
They had a code.
And the FBI had a few faux pas along the way, but they had sort of a code.
They also had a code.
And now it just seems to be game on. And it's a little scary when the government entities that big are getting sort of politicized and weaponized and going out and doing the bidding of certain people. That is, again, you know, there's CNN and there's Fox News. Let them both go do their own thing. But the FBI is supposed to just the facts, man.
Yes.
And they're getting a little scary, I think.
I think
there'll be some whistleblowing. There already is. And there might be some very damning things that come out in the next several months.
I hope so, because the country's at stake. Mm-hmm. If we don't start doing the right thing, we're falling apart in so many different areas. I've never seen anything like it. And I'm a guy, call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm a guy, a criminal my whole life. I've never seen things like this. I mean, I've been involved in some good things, some bad things, and some ugly things. I've never seen anything like this in my life. And I worry about my grandchildren and people's kids, you know, or my kids. What kind of a future are we going to leave? I would tell people like us, I would say, when you have grandchildren, they're going to turn to you someday. They're going to say, Grandma, where the fuck were you in those years? Why didn't you say something? Why did you do something? You were around. Did you do anything? Or did you allow it?
I didn't want to be kicked off of Twitter.
Yeah. I was on the Adam Carolla show.
I know. That's the problem. That's what I did. That's the other problem. If you say something, you're liable to get kicked off. And
well, that's the other scary part of the equation.
I'm on social media as well. I'm talking now. But I'm afraid of saying certain things how I feel because I'll get kicked off.
Oh, the yeah. It is interesting to get an insight to the FBI through the eyes of a criminal who had to spend more time with the FBI yeah. than many that came before him or anyone else. But it in a way, it's almost more insightful to see or more informational to kind of see how they conducted themselves mm-hmm. and how they operated from your perspective right. versus a guy who worked for the FBI and was yeah. just in the corner office all week.
Right. I mean, when I was there, they were honorable people. I got to say the truth. Like, there was one or two I didn't like and I didn't trust. But overall, like I said, I mean, I cooperated in 1991. This is 2022, almost 2023. I'm still friends with them. It's amazing how some of them I became friends with. They'll wish me Merry Christmas. I'll wish them Merry Christmas, birthdays. We talk. And we talk about just bullshit like this, about what's going on with the FBI now. I've talked to some news people. I know a lot of news people now. I know this woman, and I know her for a lot of years now. And I said, you went to college, and you did great. And you became a news reporter. You're on TV. Well, behind the scenes. You're not an anchor, but you're behind the scenes. And you're becoming a heavyweight in the business. Yeah. You went out when you went to college and all to cure the world, to investigate, to find out the truth, to hold everybody's feet to the fire, right? Yeah. How do you feel now when they're lying? And you're part of it.
Yeah, it's dumbfounding to me because I think about journalistic integrity, but just sort of human integrity.
Yeah.
And when I hear, you know, I turn on CNN and you see Sanjay Gupta and he's standing there with Don Lemon and he's like, Joe Rogan's eating horse paste. It's like, both you, come yeah. on. Yeah. You have a job. Yeah. You went to yeah. college. You went to journalism school and stuff.
Right.
It's not horse paste. You know it's not horse right. paste. Why are you saying this? Like, where's right. your
well, you know what she told
where's
me?
Your code?
You know what she told me? Sammy, I'm a single mom. I got good job. I got a good everything. She was crying on the fucking phone with me. She says,
yes.
I if I say boo, I would be fired, and I'm sick half the times. Why would you bring this up to me?
Right. No.
She hung up on me and then called me back in a half hour and apologized because she's sick. Inwardly, she's sick, but she can't say nothing. Her editor will fucking knock her out like this. Boom.
As a single mom, I get that. I get that.
Yeah, no, I get it too. I told her, I understand that. I get it. Don't hang up on me. Like, I'm not mad at you.
Right.
I think the world you are, or I wouldn't talk to you like that. And I understand what you must be going through, because you are a good person. It must kill you half the time. You're backing something that you know is a fucking lie,
right.
and you're hurting innocent people. The mob, we hurt each other. In social media, whatever it is, when you go beyond this and you start hurting innocent fucking people, that's the end of the country, or you're like a fucking animal. You should be treated like a fucking animal. I mean, I don't get it either. All these investigations. Here's look at this governor, this state. I hope they'll let me out. But this state here turns around and says they had a couple of hot days. They sent alerts around.
Oh, yeah, the water alert.
We have problem with the electric grid. There's not that much electric. Lower your electric, do this, do that, do the other thing. He passes a law that all the cars are got to be electric cars. So there's 40 million people in California. And you got to figure it's got to be 28, 30 million cars. Where are you going to plug these cars in? You can't even deal with two fucking days of hot weather. And you're going to plug in 30 million fucking cars. How?
You know what
tell
I'm,
me how.
I'll
but wait, wait, wait. Let me finish. Let me finish with this. Because I could be the president of the United States.
Yeah,
or the governor. Because I would say, why don't we get the 40 or 50, 60 billion dollars we sent to Ukraine, turn around and say, I'm going to do all the power grids, make them, update them, do this, do that, do something where we could lower the amount of gas. You know those things at Disney World, you stand on the car and it just shoots all over the place. It looks like a planet from another planet. It shoots all around and you're sitting there.
Oh, the little tram that goes all the way around.
Yeah.
Oh, that tram.
Why can't we put those trams on highways?
Listen, we sunk $90 billion into a bullet train that went from like Merced to Sacramento. Yeah. I don't know if they've laid any track yet.
There's nothing happening with that.
No.
We're just bad. What we need to do, here's the problem. Ford, GM, and Tesla, and Chrysler, and Honda, whatever, they're companies. You know, that's private industry. When you tell them, hey, we got to get this fleet from, 72% gas powered to 90% electric. We got to get our whole fleet crossed over in a decade. They're business people. They fucking go to work. Like, that shit happens fast and the cars get better and the cars get more economical and the price goes down and whatever. We command Ford, GM, and all these places, we go, we need you to switch over to electric fleet. Now, electric vehicles. And they go, all right. And they hit the ground running. Then we say to Gavin Newsom, you're in charge of the things that are going to charge the electric cars. And he fucks that in the ass 10 ways to Sunday. So it's not that Ford and GM and Tesla and everyone at Mercedes and Volvo, they're going to have tons.
They're going to have so many ready to go.
By 2035, they're going to have tons of offerings for us.
Right.
You could only imagine at the speed they're innovating in the EV world where GM and Ford are going to be on electric vehicles 13 years from now.
Right.
They will be here. Gavin Newsom will be putting out a forest fire because he didn't manage the forest correctly and will have no place to charge them. So that is the difference between the private industry and the governmental shit. My thing is...
But don't you think he knows that?
I don't... I've interviewed the man. I do not know what he knows.
He's not stupid.
People say that, but I've interviewed him. He doesn't give a fuck.
He don't give a fuck.
I'm with
you on that. He wants to run for president now.
Oh, God.
Yeah, oh, God. I mean, but they don't care.
I guess they don't care.
They want everybody's. I see people in California. I don't know if they're on drugs. Everybody's clapping.
Right.
We're going to have clean air. Where are you going to plug them?
And by the way, speaking of clean air, how are we going to create the energy to power the plug?
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Which is
the end of
the whole thing argument anyway. But here's what I really would like to do. I would like to see all those politicians who are demanding this because of clean air or whatever the reason is. It's a fake reason. I'd like to see where what stocks they buy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I bet you it's in electric cars and different things.
People. Yeah, of course it is.
Followed.
It's all about money. That's
people
all it is.
Nancy Pelosi just went to...
They follow her husband's
Nancy Pelosi,
stock buying.
Yeah. She just went to Taiwan, and now Taiwan's making the batteries. That would be... The whole country, it takes a gangster to see this shit.
Yes.
We did this in a small way. I'm going to do a show, The Bullpen. It's a mafia news station. I'm going to talk about things on a private channel so I don't get bounced. I hope I don't get bounced. But I'm going to talk about that stuff. Why don't we look at your stock investments, your husband's stock investments, your sons, your daughters, your sisters, your uncle, your aunt, and that you keep pumping for these electric cars. Why?
Yeah.
If it's always money, power, greed, it's one of those things that are there all the time. When we were running New York as the mafia, and we had the industry, the garment industry, I want her to wear this beautiful dress. Oh, you look so sexy in this dress. Look at it. It's great.
Look at me.
You know why? I don't give a shit about her. I'll make it $5 a skirt.
Right.
I wanted to buy it. I wanted to buy it. I used to blow the horn and wave to the girl. She thinks I'm flirting with her. I love that dress.
One of yours. Well, Sammy, I feel like we could go on for another hour.
This has been great.
I always love talking to Sammy
Bull Gravano. And I'm not going to pay you the $200. Don't shake me down on public. I mean, I'm a gangster. You can't shake me down like
all
that.
Right.
All right, here's the $200.
Our
but
thing.
I'm a Jew, so I want the $200.
The name of the podcast is Our Thing, and also SammyTheBull.com is where you can go to find out about all the new projects. The bullpen.
Yes, yes.
Jody Miller, the world's funniest weather, and also funny you should ask as well. Jody Miller, Jody with the J-O-D-I. JodyMillerComedy.com. You can go to, I'll be at the Hollywood Improv October 19th with my friends doing stand-up there. I think we'll do a live stand-up pod there. So let's go to AdamCarolla.com for all that. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Sammy the Bull and Jody the Miller. Say it. Mahalo.
Make sure you pick up a copy of Adam's new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available wherever finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your tickets to see Adam Carolla live at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com.
Saddle up and get ready for Westerns Weeks on Pluto TV, all for free. We're coming in blazing with favorites like True Grit and Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Or immerse yourself in binge-worthy series like Yellowstone and Walker, Texas Ranger. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. The best part? It's free. No credit card, no sign-up, no fees. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now.